Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Chase and Big Joe, hour number two, live from Chiba Hut in Clarksville, 419 Riverside Drive. Come by, say hello, get a sandwich, and have some fun with us. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier hanging out with you. Let's say hello now to Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chris, what's up? How you doing?
Man, it is hot out here.
Whew. It is hot.
How the fish grease. Whew. How
the
fish
grease. It is hot. The opinions are hot. That is for sure.
Oh, I know. I'm kind of scared to dive into this, but I'm ready to do it, man.
Give me your overall view of Cam Ward and the offense through three series in preseason game number one.
It was okay. And the reason why I say it's okay, because when I first came in and looking at the game, I was concerned about the offensive line. But the offensive line was a bright spot. They're stand on blocks.
You're right.
They did a great job. So my mindset was like, okay, the offensive line is going to struggle. But the first series was okay. But then they went on a 12-play 95-yard drive, and they did pretty good. But then after that, you know, it's like, no disrespect, but it's just like Cam went back to what he was doing, holding the ball too long, you know, overthrowing guys, you know, just kind of, you know, whirly bird in that step, as opposed to staying to his technique. So I was kind of concerned about that. But at the end of the day, it's still preseason.
Why do you think he's overthrowing? Like, I'll use a specific example for you. That screen pass to Robinson. Like, that's basically a handoff. Like, you got to make that play. And he threw it way over his head.
But see, nobody looks at it, too, is I know they're blaming Cam Ward that he shouldn't have overthrew him. But you got to look at where the ball was. The ball was on the right hash. And he's lined up way down there. That's a long throw for Cam. I'm not saying he shouldn't have made it, but at the end of the day, you know, you still got to put your quarterback in good position to where it's an easy throw. That's a long, long throw. But at the end of the day, Cam needs to make the throw. It's an easy throw. It's kind of like a handoff, and he has to make that play. Because we always talk about Cam going to the next level, being a smart quarterback, but you can't revert back to bad habits. And that's kind of what we saw in those couple of drives.
Chris Sanders is with us today. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how you doing there?
You guys got a scrimmage tonight?
We go to Rockville. We got they're a good team, physical. We're going to get after them.
Good. I like that. You got the city boys going out to the country. That's my kind of game, buddy.
Country. We're going through the country. We're going to Murfreesboro.
Attaboy. 0388 on our text line is a good point. The fact we've been talking like this about Cam Ward at this point is concerning. Do you agree to that?
Listen, I was upset a little bit about the game, but I got to remember, this is his second year. Now he's got a new offensive coordinator. I'm not trying to make excuse for him, but he has to learn some more techniques that he really probably didn't learn when he was with the, you know, other coaching staff. I just think that, you know, from this day on, I don't want to just see him be consistent in practice. Yeah, that's great. You know, 11 for 12 and, you know, 11 for 13, that's great. I want to see him be consistent in the game, because there's some plays that he can make in the game, but then there's some other plays to where you're scratching here, like, you know, what's going on? But I think we as fans, we as people just need to pump our brakes a little bit and just let the process, you know, handle like it's going to happen. I think it's going to be okay, but he's still got to get better.
Well, the concern I have, Chris, and look, you played NFL and the receiver at a high level. When you're running and just a quick hit and that ball is zipping over your head, I mean, sorry. Those are simple plays, right?
They are, but here's the thing that's disconcerting a little bit is if we keep repeating ourselves. What did we say last year? He's holding the ball too long. He's waiting. He's trying to play hero ball. He's trying to throw it in a tight window. You know, he's got to understand that if you're running RPOs and your slot receiver's running a quick slant and he's 7 yards away from you, you got to take a little bit off the football, because if you throw a dart, he can't even get his head around. I mean, if you look at, you know, Robinson, he came out of his cut, and the ball was on top of him. He's got to understand the little things of, okay, you know what? He's running a slant. I just got to put it in a spot to where the receiver can catch it, not putting a whole bunch of heat on it.
I agreed. And, you know, Robert Saleh said, look, he made good decisions. And Chase and I were talking about that. Good decisions are great, but you got to have execution. I can make great decisions all day. If I don't execute those good decisions, then it's for nothing. And so, yeah, the decisions are there. I think he's a very smart quarterback.
Yeah.
I just – the execution part, oh, a chihuahua.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's – yeah, you can make great decisions, but also you have to make the play. Because I can make a decision to throw it to a post when that's the read, but if I overthrow him, then, I mean, what have I done? But here's the thing, too, is, I mean, he just got to go back and learn from the film. The film is the best teacher. We always say this, the eye in the sky don't lie. So what you got to do is go back and say, okay, you know what? I need to get rid of the ball quicker. I need to make that play. I need to take some zip off of throwing the ball to Robinson. So once he learns that, I think he's going to be okay. But if we get in week one, week two, week three, week four, and we keep repeating ourselves, now it's the time for concern to be like, okay, you know what? Is he our guy?
And you've seen this, and you play that. Hell, when I play, the film does not lie. I understand that. And I've sat in film rooms where a coach has destroyed a player. He's like, I'll never do that again. And then the next game, he does the same thing. And you know what happens? He's not back in there. So I'm not saying they're going to replace Cam Moore, but you're right.
Nah.
Like, stop. Somebody said he's hard-headed. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? He could be a little bit hard-headed. Like, I don't do it this way. But Brian Daboll's smart. He's got smart guys. He's got good receivers around him. Let them make the plays. You don't have to play hero ball anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but he was doing a little bit of that in camp. We always talk about not throwing the home run ball, which is the post or the go route, which is great. But throw it to your checkdowns. He did a play that I was kind of really excited about when he threw a little crossing route, you know, to one of the receivers, and he got the yards and got a first down. Those are the things you need to do, because you got to understand that when we were in camp, when he was in OTAs, he wasn't feeling heat in the pocket. So now you're getting to, you know, the 49ers, and you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable. You're feeling a little bit – you're feeling people at your feet. You're feeling people swiping at you. So now he's got to be like, okay, you know what? I got to focus in chaos. When everything is going chaotic around me, I still have to make the play. And when he gets to that situation and performing in chaos, I think he's going to be okay.
Chris Sanders is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. Only three targets to Carnell Tate, the rookie. Not really enough to evaluate that. And we've talked about, you know, one of those targets was probably a throw Cam shouldn't have made. But overall, what do you think his takeaway would be from playing now one preseason game? He's seen some real game reps.
Yeah.
How can he build off of that?
I mean, I think Carnell Tate is going to be okay. I mean, I know he got three targets in the game. And I think that also you got to remember that the coaching staff didn't have a game plan. They just went out there and let guys play. I think once you get into season, you're going to have some design plays for him. Say we got a cover four beater. Somebody runs a curl with number two, and he runs the post. That's a design play for Carnell to get the ball. I don't think that, you know, going into the scrimmage, they were designed to get Carnell to take the football. So they're just like, okay, whatever read happens, we're going to throw it. So when you get into the season and you start game planning against teams, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have you go in motion, get a quick screen, because you're game planning to get him the ball early. So I'm not concerned about that, because I think the coaches are going to make it ideal to where we get in game time situation, he's going to be okay.
Calvin Ridley had that one catch for 18 yards that was a nice one. Do you think in a perfect world, now look, in his mind, he wants to be a 1,200-yard receiver and be the number one guy, but I don't know if that's realistic anymore. Is he the, you know, hey, he's going to be out there. We may not throw his direction every time. But when we need a big play, we're going to go to Calvin Ridley. Is that kind of where he needs to be at this point in his career?
We just – right now, number one, we need him to stay healthy. That's number one. Number two is we need him to make some – you don't have to make a whole bunch of plays a game, but we need that splash play to where you take the top off the defense or a deep crossing route. We need him to do that. I think with all the guys that they have that's going to be the starting 3 and 11 personnel – those guys are capable of making plays, but they do things different. Just like Rondale Robinson, he's going to catch a little choice routes and catch show seams and make plays like that. You got Carnell Tate that's going to run the deep comebacks, the deep digs in the post to take the top off the defense. Then you got, you know, Ridley that can run the curls and the digs and make plays like that. But when he gets the ball in his hands, he has to make an explosive play, and that's what I want for him to do this year.
So, Chris, they got Ridley, you got Carnell Tate, you got Wandale Robinson, you got Gunnar Helm, who looked good last night. He's emerging as a good tight end. Pollard Spears. I mean, you have weapons.
Yes, you do.
Those guys can play to their capability. You got something there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got some guys that can make some plays. Look at Gunnar Helm. We talked about a little, you know, a little screen he caught to where he got like 18 or 19 yards. He's a guy that can make plays, but it all depends on what formations you're going to use. I think to get all those guys on the field, you go 11 personnel, one back, one tight, and three wide receivers. And then, you know, you got another running back that had a great game yesterday was Spears. But the only thing that I'm concerned about Spears is every time we get into preseason, he looks good, but then the second and third game, he's sitting on the sidelines. So if he can stay healthy, I think you give a 1-2 punch in the backfield and you got three or four wide receivers that can make plays on the perimeter.
I agree. Do you like the fact that Robert Saleh played starters last night?
Heck yes! Did you hear what he said? These guys need reps. These guys are a young team. And when you have a young team, the only way you get better is if you're going with live bullets. Practice is good. OTA is good. Drills are good. But I need bullets firing me because here's the deal. That's when you start evaluating guys. Can they handle the heat when bullets are flying? So I'm glad that he kept him in. I know he said he wanted to go 20 plays, but he kept him in a little longer because he wanted to see how these guys respond. So I think it's beautiful. I know you don't want to get guys hurt, but at the end of the day, these guys need reps and they need experience.
You know exactly what Carnell Tate's going through. You were drafted. Yes. You played in the league. You played your first preseason game. I know it wasn't a real game. Yeah. I mean, a real game that counted. But when you went out there, was it I got to imagine, like, it's a little tough catching your breath because – all the emotions that got you there, and you're like, oh, God, I'm here now. What do I do, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great observation. I was a little nervous, but I came in with a chip in my shoulder. I was mad at everybody because it was, you know, I mean, we were scrimmaging the Washington Redskins, and in my mind, I wanted to earn the respect of my offensive coordinator, my receiver coach, and my, my quarterback. So what I did, it was fourth and 20-something. So me being a little knucklehead rookie, I went to him. I said, Coach, just go for it. Just go for it. I mean, I was just that wild. I said, go for it. We ran a curl. I caught a spun and went 30 yards. So once I did that, caught my breath and got excited, the defense is going crazy because they see that. Now I earned the respect of my players. So I wanted to be out there. Yes, emotions were going crazy. I was nervous. I was all these things. But my dream came true, so I definitely wanted to be out there.
So your first ever catch, I know it's preseason, was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
And Knoxville, Tennessee against Washington Redskins, and it was 4th and 23.
Look at you. Look at you. You're automatically a Tennessee Vol, baby. We're going to give it to you.
No.
Get away from that crappy Ohio State. We're going to get you a Tennessee Vol, man.
Hey, who's ranked number one in the country?
I think it's Valdosta State.
And then Chase, who's gonna win Silly Dog Underpick this year? I mean, three-time champion.
It might be you. You've been because you find these just dumb plays that nobody would take and they hit.
Right?
Yeah. He'll take a 40-point dog and we'll all make fun of him and then all of a sudden it hits.
That's it, man. Hey, I got to take chances like Cam, baby.
Oh, you do. Hey, listen, I know it's hot out there and everything, but how much fun do you have as a high school football coach? I know it's 1,000 degrees.
Oh, my God.
But, man,
I love it.
You're still coaching football, and I am extremely jealous of you and all these high school coaches who get to mold these young men and get to be out there.
Tonight.
You know what? The heat never the heat was different 40 years ago for me, obviously, but because we didn't care. But tonight you're going to scrimmage game, but still, man, it's under the lights.
Gosh.
It's hot. It's your guys versus their guys. How much fun is this?
I'm having a blast, and I'm going to share a story, and I'll quick. It'll be about 30 seconds. But there was a guy that I coached, and at the beginning, the year before that, he couldn't go into camp because he had headaches. And the reason why he was getting headaches, and this is a sad story, because he lost his sister in the Covenant shooting. So he wasn't sure if he was going to play football again. So he comes out his senior year, and he's just going through it, and then became a starter. And then at the end of the season, he became one of my best weapons on the football team. He scored like 5 or 6 touchdowns. So you wonder why I get excited. You wonder why did I get happy about going in the heat, because I get to watch kids develop into something great, and it just makes my heart warm. Why? Because you get to make others great, man.
How hard did you hug that young man?
Man, on the last game, I hugged him with tears in my eyes. And you know what he said? He said, this is one of the best experiences that I've ever had. I've done my job. We didn't win the championship, but he won the game of life. That's why I love coaching, right there.
Oh, that's great. As we've talked about this, is that You know, we never, and I know this sounds kind of goofy, but I never got to thank the game of football for developing me and my friends that played about the character that it gave us. I never thanked the game. And so how do you thank the game?
You know, by just giving it to others. That's how you thank the game. And I'm going to share this with you. Now, I'm not saying this to puff myself up, but, you know, I just found out last Friday that I'm getting inducted into the Ohio State Hall of Fame.
Get it.
Track and field.
That's awesome, man.
And the first person I thank was Christ, and I thanked my mom. But I went back and thanked all the coaches that didn't give up on me. The Don Gatewoods, the Les Steckles, the Sherman Smiths, all the coaches that invested in me. So what I did is when I got off the phone, I called each coach to tell them thank you because their legacy continues. That's why I love coaching right there.
Look, man, why don't you tell – look, you also – we got three guys here at 102.5 The Game that love you, myself, Chase, and Dr. Crane,
man. No. Y'all my brothers, man. There's nobody like y'all.
Are you
going to
invite –
my brothers.
Are you going to invite Mike Vrabel?
No.
Chris, please tell me you called – Dave Craig.
I did call Dave Craig. He said, man, you still can't get the guy off the spot. And he yelled at him and then hung up the phone.
Oh, man.
Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend. We got some football to talk about. I love it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks.